Blog Talk Radio.
She don't look
fit.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and peace here today. Oh, pick it light. It's bad. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Listening audience, today is Friday,
September the 21st, 2012. Your hosts are yours truly, Ministers Luke and Felicia Dixon Newman. We're talking to you live on Blog Talk Radio, live from Michigan. And just as Marvin Gaye say, what's going on today? There's so much going on. But before we begin, we're scheduled to talk about current events. I think I said we're here from 7 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. And don't forget, we got 46 days until the presidential election, and we are just so excited. We are so happy to get to be a part of this process. And we asked that Minister Lewis give us a free commentary. How you doing, Minister?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Today was a good day. It's like saying, like the first day of fall. That was a little
first day of fall.
A little chit day of the winter. And I don't want to feel arrogant because the weather is so nice. But it just feels real nice. And there's a lot going on, but we still have to feel good about it.
You say it's the first day of fall, but it seems like it's
warm
though. Fine and
warm. Well, that's a long time ago, back in the 70s, it used to start getting cold in September in Detroit. First time I came to Detroit, It was like, it always snowed in September, literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the weather, a lot of things have changed, you know, not even.
That's the snow in September?
It was just holding on for the snow.
Wow.
Yeah. Even in the South, when was a change since you came before you were here?
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. But I remember you better be getting ready for the cold when you first year school, that was it. But it wasn't summer. Something is for summer. I say you're out for the summer. That do mean you out for the summer. It wasn't on summer all the way down in November right now. And so, you know, sometimes, and I don't know if we're going to return back to that time or what. But I just believe that man can do anything if he put his mind to it. Man has shown that we can get up on the wrong side of the bed now. No doubt about that. I mean, we can get up and really be down and about, out and about on the wrong side of the bed. But we're going to try to get up on the right side of the bed. We can just, like my grandmama used to say, pray to God that you get up in your right mind.
Why you call her your grandmammy?
So that was the girl. Man is more of a word that says, almost like the man in the house.
Mm-hmm. Well, Minister, our president, Mitt Romney, released his tax returns today. And he paid $2 million. I've always been caught rounding to the nearest 10. To be exact, he paid $1.9 million, but to round it to the nearest, he paid $2 million in taxes. His income was $13.7 million, right? He paid $2 million in tax, and his tax rate was at a rate of 14.1%. And of this $13.7 million, $4 million him and Miss Ann Romney contributed to charitable donations, which this is 30% of his income. This is the man that they saying that can't connect with the people, that's not doing nothing for people. But he donated $4 million, which is 30% of his income, toward donations. And so, when is Obama going to release his tax statement? Have you heard anything? Has he released anything?
Well, you know.
His accountant released some type of addendum or something saying that his average tax rate was 20.2%. And also, Ms. Ann Romney's plane had to make an emergency landing in Colorado today because the plane was filled with smoke. But Andrea Saul, who is their spokesperson, said that she's okay. So we thank God for that. And I heard Ms. Romney went on a talk show today and said, you know, people ought to be glad that Mitt Romney is running for president. And, you know, some type of way, I feel the same way. You know, we'll say that here ourselves.
Well, yeah, I was kind of worried about Ms. Romney, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot to be said about Ms. Romney. I guess, Ms. Obama had a few problems. She got in the White House, them people went to fixing her up. I mean, Ms. Romney, now, she has a little flower or something, but she, you know, well, she got her structure.
Well, Ms. Romney looks well, though, to be 60. I think she's 60, 65, 60.
My father was,
Oh, the way she dressed. Well, she dressed like a person that's her age, though. You know, she's not trying to, and I'm pretty sure once she get in the White House, you know, she going to have people going to kind of help her tweak up everything.
Well, I was angry. What they did with,
but I understand what you're saying, but you know, Ms. Romney got a nice looking face anyway. They had to fix Ms. Obama up, you know, from face down to clothes.
I was just imagining, looking forward to that next year, man. You don't have no children.
She got on television today and said that, she really said. You know, in campaigns, you're going to have your bad weeks. This is one of his worst weeks. Because he's taking a statement that he made, you know, out of context. It's really out of context. And I have a copy of that tape. I don't know if you're ready to listen to it now or what. But the tape really was taken out of context. And the person that... I think at the time, Mitt Romney was talking to some rich people. He had to, you know, people try, that would get me with people. They get around, they can do, they can say, in other words, black folks can go to the black church, so you know how they is. The white folk got my hand tied. Then they go to the white folks and they down on their knees. The black folks don't know what they doing when they over there. White folks don't know what they doing. I'm watching the whole, I was able to, you know, we was able to watch the whole thing.
That's why they didn't like
him. And so, Mitt Romney, they feel like he's not supposed to have, you're supposed to talk to, you're supposed to speak to who you're speaking to. That's just like when I was working on my master's degree. And one of the classes I had to take was a communication class. And that's what it taught us. You speak to whoever you are speaking to. If you're speaking to people that are not fluent with English, don't go in there using no big words. When you're speaking to people that, in other words, if you're trying to raise money, you have to say whatever you need to say. You know, he's just saying that, you know, hey, something, and then that's why it's not good to eavesdrop. You know, we used to talk about that a lot.
Right.
That's really eavesdropping. Then if you go around with Obama, you'll be surprised at what he's, like, I'm not, you know, in other words, black people would be surprised at what he's saying about them.
But the only thing about it, you know, I guess people have to do what they have to do. But it's smart people just look at that as they really taking cheap shots as a person who really, now the sun's coming up and all the sir, he might be, Mitt Romney might be stepping down just, you know, just to say he think he can really. You know, he have every reason in the world to believe that he could do something with this because, hey, if you give away $3 or $4 million in charity,
you can't be going too bad. But you know, Minister, what a lot of people don't realize about those seats, it's just that we got a lot of nasty riding people in them seats.
when you that's not the point I want to make. The point that I want to make is that those seats were originally designed for people to become a public servant. You're really a servant to the public. As you say, you're really stepping down. You're really trying to do something. And so people have turned those seats into a way of life, a way to pay their bills, a way to be nasty, a way to really let off some steam and do what they've always wanted to do.
Right. You know, God can only feel so good about you as you feel about yourself, you know. So let's really take a little deep breath here. We have to really take advantage of the situation in the right way, and the only way we can do stuff, a planning partner, is don't go so hard against people who are helping you. And what I mean by that, I ain't talking about tricking you or so, you know, I ain't talking about, you know the parable and about. We don't have time to play with this. You could say disenfranchised, and we ain't trying to use no fear tactic. It's just a God responsible thing to do. You know, we are all people. You know, we're not trying to at this point in time. And even though the people who have enough knowledge and understanding would automatically hire someone to run the world, no matter who it is, okay, to manage what is going on now in the eyesight of what God is some type of way, But we're going to take a break for something. We'll be right back.
There are 47% of the people who vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. That's an entitlement, and government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what. And I mean, the president starts off with 48, 49, 48. He starts off with a huge number. These are people who pay no income tax. 47% of Americans pay no income tax. So our message of low taxes doesn't connect. And you'll be out there talking about tax cuts for the rich. I mean, that's what they sell every 4 years. And so my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them. They should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. What I have to do is convince the 5 to 10% in the center that are independent, that are thoughtful, that look at voting one way or the other, depending upon some cases, emotion, whether they like the guy or not.
Oh, that's awesome. So first of all, my job is not to worry about those 47%. You're going to be president of the United States of America, and you're writing off nearly half the country? That's amazing. Second of all, a lot of those people in that 47% vote for Republicans anyway. They vote against their own economic interests all the time.
Okay, we're going to put on the Mitt Romney 47% remark that people hyping about in the Democrat Party.
There are 47% of the people who vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. That's an entitlement, and government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what. And the president starts off with 48, 49, 43. He starts off with a huge number. These are people who pay no income tax. 47% of Americans pay no income tax. So our message of low taxes doesn't connect. And he'll be out there talking about tax cuts for the rich. I mean, that's what they sell every 4 years. And so my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them. They should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. What I have to do is convince the 5 to 10% in the center that are independent, that are thoughtful, that look at voting one way or the other, depending upon, in some cases, emotion, whether they like the guy or not.
Oh, that's awesome. So first of all, my job is not to worry about those 47%. You're going to be president of the United States of America, and you're writing off nearly half the country? That's amazing. Second of all, a lot of those people in that 47% vote for Republicans anyway. They vote against their own economic interests all the time. Second of all, that 47% number is nonsense. They're talking about federal income tax. First of all, a lot of them don't pay that because of exemptions that were put in there by Republicans and Democrats alike. Home mortgage deduction, a child tax credit, earned income tax credit, etc. And all those people pay payroll tax and income tax, and sales tax anyway. Now, almost everybody pays the sales tax, and by the way, for the poor, that's a much bigger percentage of their income than it is for the rich. And then if you take away the people who also pay payroll tax, that number drops down from 47 to 18 anyway. So it's grossly misleading. But what's more important is how Mitt Romney looks at it. Like, those guys, they're not going to be swung by my arguments for lower taxes for the rich. Yeah, of course they're not going to be swung by that. We hope they're not going to be swung by that. But he's basically telling these rich donors, obviously I'm on your side, and we're trying to lower taxes for you folks, but I got these 47% that aren't paying enough income taxes, even though, of course, like I said, we're taking a huge chunk of their money in sales tax, payroll tax, etc. So we're not going to get, so let's not even worry about those guys. Well, nice of you to admit it. Of course, not in public, but secretly to the people financing your campaign. Now, in the next clip, he has the audacity to talk about how he didn't have a silver spoon when he was growing up.
I say that because there's a perception that, oh, you were born with a silver spoon, you know, you never had to earn anything and so forth. And frankly, I was born with a silver spoon.
Now, he goes on to say, hey, it's because I was born in America, and anyone born in this country has a 95% chance of likelihood of success. 95%? No. If they were born in your circumstances, they have that chance. Because your dad was a multimillionaire. He was the governor of Michigan. He ran for president. He ran a major car company. But Mitt Romney thinks, no, it's okay. Later in the speech, he explains, well, I didn't take my dad's inheritance, because by that time he's already stinking rich with the Bain Capital money, and he says like he gave it away to charity, which of course means his church, most likely, and God knows where his church spent it. I know some of it was on hate campaigns against gay people in California, but anyway, that's his charity. So he says, since I didn't take the inheritance, I didn't have any advantages. No, it's not about the inheritance. It's that you got all those advantages to begin with, the best schools, whether it was junior high or high school or elementary school, God knows the tutors that you got, free education in college, you never had to worry about it. You didn't have to worry about being in a school where you couldn't even take the books home. You had every advantage known to man. But you apparently don't appreciate it at all in the sense that you think, oh, I earned it. I got it all on my own. Are you kidding me? You think people were born into that same situation as you? I got news for you. There's a whole nother America where people weren't born with that silver spoon up their butt. You think it's easy for everybody in America? God, what a narcissist. He can't see beyond his own little sheltered existence. This is what people are talking about when they say Mitt Romney doesn't understand real Americans' problems. It's not that he's rich. It's that he lives in this bubble where it's surrounded by rich people. And as we showed you in a clip at the end of last week, he thinks, when asked what is the middle class, he said $200,000 to $250,000 a year. Now, what kind of a sheltered person are you that you think that's middle class in America?
Yeah,
and now, I love this one. He says, oh, he could win if it weren't for one thing. I'll get a load of this.
My heritage, my dad, you probably know, was the governor of Michigan and was the head of a car company. But he was born in Mexico. And had he been born of Mexican parents, I'd have a better shot of winning this, but he was not. Unfortunately, one of Americans living in Mexico. They lived there for a number of years, and I say that jokingly, but it should be helpful. I mean, you know,
were born to Mexican parents, you'd obviously have a much better chance of becoming president because of all those past Mexican-American presidents. Oh, right, there were none. Again, it's spitting in your eye. This guy who had all of the advantages because of who he was when he was born turns around and says, oh, only if I was Mexican, I would have been better off. Really? Then where are all the Mexican presidents from the past? Where are all the politicians that are so wildly successful in America because they had the great advantage of being born to Mexican parents? Where the hell are they? This man couldn't connect to another person if his life depended on it. And apparently his entire campaign depends on it, and he still can't connect. He can't see anything outside of the bubble where all of his friends are millionaires and billionaires. Not only is it going to cost him the presidency, but it's revolting to look at.
We apologize for the disruption, but children or something else. But anyway, it was so important. It's almost like that knock on the door. You know, we are trying to explain something. We need to get it explained based on stuff that's really, really just significant for our country. We have to do it anyway. It'd just be more easier. But then let's talk about some other routine stuff, I guess, that's in the news. I just was kind of worried about Ms. Robinson being, you know, something else, but I guess that came out okay, so let's do it. So. And it's not something that we should even be nervous about, I guess. But we got to condition ourselves for a better world. You know, we got to condition ourselves for a better world. And that has a lot to do with the coming of it. We're experiencing a lot of things here in Detroit, dealing with a lot of different profile cases. But, you know, we don't want to just speak about it because there's always something going on. But I think we found that most interesting today about a lot of pedophiles operating in Hollywood. And those are things that we really got to be careful with.
Yes, audience, we are back, and what we was playing a few minutes ago was the 47% remark. I guess, Minister, you got to come in on the tape before you go into something else. But that's just something that Barack Obama and his entourage have taken out of context because he don't have a record to run on, and that's what we need to be talking about. We need to be talking about Barack Obama's record. You know, what did he mean 4 years ago when he said, yes, we can? What did he mean when he said, yes, we can?
Yeah, and some of the things that he said something like, and that, the way the response to that is kind of great, when he said, you can't change Washington from the inside. You know, all of our life. What? There's nothing you cannot change from the inside, you know. Because he said he had to change. But he changed more or less to pro-Washington, I guess, especially with these laws that's coming out of different places, Hollywood, and all the things, the myths that we have heard about people and high places and what they're about or this, that, or other. See, we definitely have to critique. You can't go any higher in civilization than your attitude. You know, we are taught that on individual plane. You know, you cannot go any higher than your altitude is what is controlled by your attitude. Your attitude towards life, you know, you can't really, not going to be able to go for so far, because truth and justice is something that has to reign. Even coming from the speeches of King, no matter what type of person he was, you know that freedom will have to reign. You know, and what I mean by freedom is just like, so what do people want freedom to do? You know, you want freedom
to try to change the teachings of Jesus Christ.
And that's what's being asked here. That's what's saying that already has been done. Where are we in the midst of all this? We have to, and then, whenever you're doing anything, do a little bit of it, then that should bring some merit or something. We are honest to say that we are seeing some type of success in this perpetration of however you got this whatever that's going. And you're trying to pretend like nothing has been done. What I mean by that, you're trying to pretend that, you know, people are out doing stuff against you. And all actuality, that's what's being done by homosexuals. You know, we just love Selma. You know, we keep saying the same thing over and over. But why is it that these people keep saying something is being done to them when, in fact, they're the ones that's doing that to others? And we have to defend ourselves, and we have to bring about world peace. Because, see, when you are trying to institute something like the right to molest children, you know, what kind of right, you know, who is supposed to be granting that type of right? And where is it supposed to be coming from? And who is it supposed to be co-signed? You know, who actually say that we have a right to do this? You know, have you ever thought about where you going with that? You know, I mean, that's just plain and simple. You know, it don't take knowing how far you should go. This is why I know a person was saying this person had got molested. A child had got molested. And you see, something is in our DNA for right and for wrong. The reason why a lot of people that are homosexual, the true reason why they do stuff like down undercover or down low, that's how it started. Mainly because they understand, or they feel like they, not so much what people think is wrong, but they actually have some type of way think is wrong. You know, based on, everybody has something in them that says, well, you know, I can't do that. Well, that right there, it's something that can squander an original opportunity. Because, you know, you're suddenly trying to pretend you're something else. You sell it, and you're trying to say, well, I'm going to do this if I was this, if I was that. You know, and life is already difficult if you were that. See, if you were a man, and that was seemed to be the problem, if you were a man, you would be having, you would be going through test after test. But you don't just start at first base and just stay there and just feel like, if I could just stay on this base, you know, everything will be fine. That's not even the way. That's like a tree saying, I'm going to grow halfway up, and that's it. You know, that's not maturity at all. And it's showing. It is showing in character. It's showing in just having enough self-esteem, enough understanding and belief in what life is, what life truly is. You know, you wouldn't be running around trying to, you wouldn't, in other words, you would know that you can't hide from God. God is something that you can deal with and just be. That's just a simple thing. But you need to be pretty much right You know, you got to have a basic feeling about, okay, now, that, you know, this is right and this is wrong. This is wrong and this is right. And so what we're trying to do now is that now the country itself has to, we have to, what they call, you know, we have to contribute to civilization, not just claim the prize. Black people now have to contribute to that particular civilization, the aspect of what America is supposed to be. You know, you don't think you ever have to prove your worth in life. You know, your worth is going to have to come forward, what you stand for, what you believe in. You know, what is your true success? You know, and so now we have a president that had a successful life off just based on an immigrant coming here and just working hard and not being oppressed by, you know, by color. That's one obstacle that Mitt Romney probably never had. You know, being oppressed simply because of his color. So now what? This is like 50, 60 years later. You know, certain things are done. Some people understand that you don't have to, you know, everyone should be somewhat responsible for something, you know. And life, in order to stay ahead in life, you have to have first of all, you need to believe in God for the right reason, not just be circumstantially visiting the church. You know, any successful person should have should be, you know, based on if he's a true American, should truly be established in some sphere of Christianity, basically, because that's what makes this country, you know. And so Christianity is supposed to earn that privilege by it providing anyone on the planet with a right to worship anything they please, and for the civilization to grow, it had to be coordinated to a certain point. What we are just asking is, why is it that we need police help with black homosexual politicians that, you know, that came up into what they call powerful positions, and they can't represent black men because they're impersonating men. At the same time, manufacturing homosexuals based on they don't have the perfection of their mind, or in their mind, or the revolution of the mind to know how to carry things forward. They're trying to gain acceptance. But we are on a journey, a Christian journey that has to do with the teachings of the Son of God. You know, we're not trying to gain acceptance of talking about. Well, you really could say we just wanted equal justice under the law based on our skin. That's what I was thinking. But what has happened, and the world has grown to a point of, hey, something is wrong. Something is definitely wrong. Yeah, but so many things are right. That don't mean that we do not understand how serious the wrongness is, and even the people who are orchestrating, they have no, you know, that's not what we were doing. You know, we wasn't creating no system to mistreat or mess up homosexuals. Really, you know, our job, the man's job, is to bring about. He understands that civilization is to bring about a peaceful, just solution, not just to the citizen or constituent, but to the world. That's why we supposed to get involved and people doing inhumane things to other people. We go around the world and we fight and we die for this. Now we have black homosexuals in positions that's persecuting young blacks inside America. And we always talk about the slave trade of, you know, what's called, it's going on down there in southern France. This is going on over this is what's going on in Alabama, right down about a few couple blocks.
A place that's supposed to be known as a place that's trying to be known as the home of the civil rights movement, where Dr. King supposedly so he was touched and decided to come to Selma, you know. Touched by who?
Yeah, and while we all spending money or spending something to just cover this over, we got black people signs up and stuff like that. They won't be civilized. I can't imagine how black folks look to white folks. They really are really, you know, it's almost like, how can you describe it? And they both have so much, they both have a little fun. I guess they even fooled them when they told them they were cool. And now it's like, wow. But what we're asking for is a way to get out of this situation. So we ask for people to just at least vote for a man who have lived the American dream, not a person that's looking for it. You know, maybe that's the problem. Now, sharing horizons that are new to us is just not getting it. You know what I'm saying? In other words, like, you have to have a model to go by, an example, and to say, wow, this person is doing this. Obviously, I can do it too. But you know, when you got two people trying to do something and they never did anything, you know, you got to first have a person that have done something in such an independent fashion that they understand or know the goodness of God. You know, I mean, period. I mean, it's nothing else. You know, so that's how they live and that's how they roll. You know, and so most people even, like today is such a sad story. Something happened at a factory here today in Detroit. I think it happened yesterday when something happened and some man stabbed a woman, then went out to a place called Belle Isle and committed suicide and killed herself. There's just so many things that happen daily that, you know, it's we have to think. We have to think. And to think, you know, about where we have to try to enjoy the things that are right, forbid things that are wrong because of the situation that we're in. Now, I don't know, there's nothing else too much to talk about itself, but the election. So that's probably the biggest thing. The biggest one thing that's happening now is the election. Because we need a change, and we were talking before Obama got to be president. I mean, really, I mean, seriously. And we were doing good. You know, but I knew that was there some type of inferior a mindset or something, but I can't be the one that, you know, what I was going through was something that seemed like a lot of people started going through because of the directions we are headed, you know, not just, well, for some reason or another. So now it's pretty much at surface what can stop a civilization. So we can give ourselves credit for that, but we can't give up. Hey, but we can't stay there. No, we have to do what we have to do and go forward. And then the people who are involved, they know that if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. And we're talking about the way people are thinking it's causing a lot to happen in our environment. You know, the way we have trained ourselves to think, to cope with life, how to follow what's good for us, you know, how to use your mind in a conventional way that will display wisdom, because, you know, just because you think something crazy, you know, that's why you're able to think it. That's why a person is able to think about something before they do it. Of what is happening here. We actually thinking about this, and then we're deciding to do something. Well, that's what free will, you know, we don't want that to be the absolute reason why we fail. Because we see man hands, you know, on the constructive end, on the building end. Man has marvelous, what you call a talent, you know. But man's ability to reason, where is that? How can we build so many things that are wonderful? Maybe not. They might not be as durable as this, that, or another, but hey, they're pretty durable too. You know, devices. I mean, all from all different races of people, you know, put together. Now we're living in what they call computer age, which is wow. You know, and we really are not gonna be able to think our way out of a paper bag in order to use the things that God has given us the talent to create. We can't use it because of inefficiency in the brain, in the brain that actually did this stuff. You know, is that what we are subjugating ourselves to? But right now, you know, I guess I don't want to be over this or over that, but because the world has come a long way, but that part about the things that you hear every day and the things that we are struggling for now, it's like, wow, you know, how we get stuck up on that? You know, why, you know, how did that, even with that itself, was that a problem? You know, where's where's the wholesomeness of life? Why is all this, you know, we're fighting wars, seems like constantly. At home, when you go to work and stuff, and when you leave work and go home, then you're supposed to have a place you can sit down and feel comfortable without being threatened.
That's just like I was looking around today, and September 2012 is National Childhood Obesity Month, and this is a proclamation from the presidential office where September is, and this is supposed to be First Lady Michelle Obama initiative. She's been working with physical activity, encouraging healthy food choices, creating healthy starts for children, so on and so forth. But why is it that she can't understand that when her husband stood up May the 9th, 2012, and declared that young black men, her husband is a role model, whether she want him to be or not, to black people, because this is how he came out. And he declared that black men can get married, but how can they go from that over to where we're concerned about obesity, when childhood obesity is a problem? As a matter of fact, obesity is a problem that we have among these grown children, 40, 30, 40, and 50 years old. And so, you know, why just like I saw her playing the guard, you know, I just don't understand why and how her and her husband are just squandering a good opportunity. Minister, food is everywhere. I mean, you can get food when you can't get money. I mean, you can get food everywhere, anywhere. You cannot go hungry in this country, I'm telling you. And so,
I saw her trying to say she's going to plant a garden, you know, and collard greens. And that, see, that's what I'm saying. They just, you know, they just squandering a good opportunity to be talking about. And then they got black people talking about they are not going to vote. They are not going to do this. They are not. I don't know if they're just talking or if they're for real. But it's just a shame that, and I'm not saying that childhood obesity is not a problem, but I'm trying to say homosexuality in the black community among our young men is a top priority. HIV, you know, with Michelle Obama being the first lady, why isn't she concerned with the most of the HIV cases? 70 to 85% of those is coming from, you know, new AIDS cases is black women. Her being a black woman, and I know she a black woman, you know, why isn't that a concern of hers?
But I guess what the amazing part about it, we have created millions and millions of dollars worth of advertising that's saying something completely different from what's really happening in America. How can you address the problem without covering the issue? You know, like when you come out, okay, you already got a homosexual problem. You stand up and say it's okay for same sex to be married. You know, that's not even good for the white race, because they're not even teaching enough. They do have something to correct when it is revealed.
Today, they would check. She's speaking about this childhood obesity. What about these childhood Hollywood pedophiles? You know, it's just so many things. And I'm not saying that that's not, obesity is not a problem, but we just have so. Well, we're going to play Respect by Aretha Franklin. We'll be back.
Oh,
was looking at television today. White woman was speaking about, I think her name was Ann Henry. She got some type of organization. And she was speaking about something I think that Ms. Obama should be concerned about. You know, not just pedophiles in Hollywood, but pedophiles in the classroom, pedophiles in the pulpit, pedophiles in the deacon pit, pedophiles, you know, everywhere. You know why? I just don't understand. The first lady, I think this lady's name was Ann Henry, and she got an organization called the B.S. Perry Foundation, and it's a nonprofit corporation providing education, advocacy, and charitable support to parents and children engaged in the entertainment industry. And it's the efforts of parents, government, and industry, and parent members actually help others by bringing legislation issues to the forefront. And see, that's another problem. We got people in the legislature that are homosexual. That's why we can't get nothing done. You know, these people are everywhere. They're everywhere. You know, lying. Like ministers say, always talking about somebody bothering them. And they're the ones that are bothering people. You know, why can't you get out of the way? But you know, only God knows. God has His time, and we have to just wait on God's time. But the name of her organization, her name is Ann Henry. And the name of her organization is the Dear Parent, PARENTV Foundation. And she's trying to bring awareness to these men that are in Hollywood, because a couple of them have been in jail, Marty Weiss and Bob Ballard, and some other guy by the last name of Larry. And they just pedophile, and I noticed one person, Marty Weiss, they say he had molested over 30 children. So you have to be real careful. You know, it's not a coincidence as to what is going on. And
I was going to talk about a good thing. We're always on the wrong trip about something that so if it's that serious of a problem that you must provide the prey for pedophiles, we just breed ourselves for prey. We just part of the food changes. But we just got to get better than that. But at the same time, now, in order to win at this stuff, we got going on in the world too. We can't take that kind of recess right here talking about something that really, it's hard and it's so difficult to talk about. It would be so well that we could just, hey, we save face, just go ahead all out of it. We got to talk about something. Why is this election going on? I guess we have to spend more money on whatever. But America really needs someone in a responsible position being responsible. I mean, being responsible, not just being sneaky enough to get into a position and do people dirty. You know, like the things that happened to me and my family, but at the same time, I guess that's what brings out the best. We don't need a world where it takes all that to bring out the best thing. You know, like a lot of them, we're acting Tina Turner story. You know?
Oh, no, we're not.
I'm thinking about how I bought out the best from Tina by being so cruel. But at the same time, Well, you speaking in terms like you, but me, we being man and woman, I'm speaking in terms of civilization. I'm like if Aggie was a government and Tina was a government. Not so much in the physical as if, you know, as they're being a couple. But I understand what you're saying. No, I'm speaking in terms of the worst thing happening to a person to bring out the best of them. We don't really need, you know, that's not necessary at home. But we think it happens to us because we really need to do something about that. You know what? You know, it doesn't make no sense in the world for us to allow the creativity of America to go without its natural harvest. You know, we have all this stuff, like, and God is really working with us. Now they say, if we are not working to get out of debt, that means we are working, that means we're not doing anything. In order to stop what we're doing, we need to become to a consensual at all. Okay, this is something that we have to stop. What sense does it make for people to charge people for not being home? You know, that's and they are doing this to people who don't know any better. You know, I mean, they're cooking up things. You know, they're cooking up schemes, manipulating the audience. Said the district attorney there in Selma, by him being a homosexual, he was good. He let boys out of jail. You know, the boys that really need to be in jail. They just he giving them a pat on the wrist. That is so wrong. Making a victim out of the criminals. We just don't understand as a society what we're doing here, right here, and people are looking at it like it's supposed to be some type of, it's just a hate, it's a hate crime. It's a hate crime when a guy gets a charge and a district attorney let him go just because he's not a homosexual. See, they charged us just because we were out creating an atmosphere. We create the atmosphere for men and women to grow in. You know, that, if you're not allowing that in the community, can you stand back and think about what you're doing?
Don't make it so bad. We got people that actually call in over here and say, well, you know, I've heard that before. Moving right along, I need to talk about something over in China. You know, moving right along, we're not going to move right along until we do something about this problem, you know. And then, you know, black people, they don't have pause anyway. You know, they feel like they're looking for a quick fix. That's why they're in so much stuff now. They're always looking for a quick fix. You know, if something don't happen today, then tomorrow I'm moving on to something else. You know, when you're just a sorry Negro. And so that's what that's all about. You know, in order to get rid of problems, you have to work through problems. You know, ain't no problem gonna just go away. You know, you can bear a problem all you want to, but guess what? It's gonna come back up. It might gonna come back up to your children, your grandchildren. I know you don't care nothing about them. But I'm just telling you what's gonna happen just because you sorry and don't want to do anything. You know, that's what get me about black men. They want to sit around. Then you want to know why these black women calling you punks and stuff. They want to sit around. You know, me talking about when you know, man, moving right along to where. Go be with a white man? Go be with a man? Where you going to move right along to? You know, why is it that black people cannot do it? You know, they can't do nothing about nothing. They still talking about, well, Dr. King. You know, you still at Dr. King. This is 2012. What about these problems you got now? What you going to do about the problems that you got now? And so I watch black men, you know. They just so, they pitiful. Then you want to know why the white man don't like you, why he slapped you. You know why he don't? I want you. You gonna treat me like I'm a man? Well, you need to act like you a man and deal with the problems in your community and stop worrying about what's going on. And I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be concerned about other people, but minister, you need to first take care of your own business. How you gonna take care of somebody else's business? You know more about what somebody else doing. That's how black people are. They don't even know about these old homosexual mayors and stuff and senators they got sitting around, but they think they know about the president. That's their MO.
Well, I guess so. Well, when we make that statement about we are all a bunch of nincompoops, we pretty much, that might be the truth that got us standing. when we just say we are a bunch of nincompoops. that could be the thread that has us standing. This is all. All the great things that could happen. See, you know, well, anybody gets tired of complaining. Good gracious. You know, that's how recess. You know, I didn't like school because of recess, but now we just probably need to have recess. Good gracious. That makes you want to take a break. And then, I like to write a book on why is it when a Negro get his hands on some money? You know, my grandmama used to say that. Yeah, because it sounds so weird what she used to say. Because she used to say, you know what? A fool and money will soon part. A fool and his money will not stay. We need to try to figure out how to stay married to money. Or something. But you know, when a person complains all the time, you know, when you complain so much, you can tell yourself, you know, it's time to move on. But one time, the stuff that we was going through, we was over in the person's camp trying to communicate, you know, because we don't want everybody to know our business. These people, it's like they can't talk about anything that got something to do with something. That don't make sense, you know, and. Black people do not know how to use power among themselves. They have to. So like right now, if they actually go around saying that the reason why they do the thing that they do is because a southern white man did to them. Well, if that's the case, what can you possibly do about that? You know, if you act in a certain way. Because the person that you think of, they're not touching you physically, but they got you thinking. what would be the sense in talking about something like that? I'm just asking. You know, one time, like I said, when we come from, they have a thing around them that we are following the Willie Lynch theory. You know, when anything that has been written, black people seem to not really have the ability to understand it. You know, but we have sent scores and scores of black pastors to seminary schools. Of the greatest kind, of the greatest type. And some of them, and a lot of them, you know, even in college now, we thought that homosexuality was coming out of the prison, but it seemed like the more educated, you know, the American education system generates black homosexuals. How is that? You would say that we have colleges that were designed to exemplify and make men, make men of excellence. Morehouse College would be one. People like Bill Cosby donate money to this thing. He don't never come back and say, I didn't know that kind of stuff was going on. I didn't know that kind of stuff was going on over at the place I'm donating all this money to. You would think, but then come to find out, that's why, it's scared to think that's why he was donating the money. So black people have a deep, we're in what you call a deep psychological dilemma. And I do mean dilemma. A dilemma that we have to some type of way to deal with. It's like a mutation. There's no point. God really got us stuck on that one. Where I think God is telling you, could say he outsmarted us. Like a lot of us are saying, God is asleep. We don't care nothing about us. God is asleep. Like, he ain't really paying attention. Like, God got...
But see, I learned my lesson on dealing with black people. I don't fool with black people that be trying to explain white people to me. They're like that. You catch a black person that do stuff like that, especially a man, he's some type of homosexual. because that don't make no sense for a person. You see black people messing him up. Now, I know what people say when they show white people up behind certain things. I understand that. But where is God? You mean black women got so smart with their mouth? Well, we white folks got guns. We talking about God. Who is that?
He ever promote. What he's saying, but it's not saying what he's saying.
Well, he got a white black people because see, he could really be trying to help white folks. See, black people have a lot of little tricks going on. The only trick that they don't have going on, it don't do them no good in the long run. See, they the trick in the end.
But I got to, if a black person can live twice, maybe he would get it. Maybe we could come up with something, but it's pretty much going to take them.
I don't pay no attention. You don't believe I don't pay no attention to black people. And this guy tells me about white folks because then when you start talking to them about white folks, they go to looking around and they run. They don't want to play.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying? Right. You can have your, if you can think right, you really pretty much accomplish what you think I believe. It's just that, no matter what we do, we're all on our own. But now, I guess some people don't even have a chance to do some complaining. I know people all the time, can you imagine how they have to feel?
What do you think they make now? Hank Sanders brought in the street talking about, hell no, I ain't going back no more. And he put Gene Martin up there. So I'm learning a valuable lesson.
But what's going on in his mind when he actually, what causes him to actually do that at the same time?
Reprobated man.
And they take the Romney, talking about what Romney said. If you want to take that,
you ain't hear nothing but a tongue laughing. You would take these niggas. They didn't want to hear them, but they come.
He's got a whistle and chipmunk. it's like.
You wouldn't hear them. These women talking. You wouldn't hear them fighting. You wouldn't hear them, but they come. Going,
1,000 miles an hour. Because the government made by itself don't pay black people no attention. You know, it don't make no sense that what Hank just did. Hell no, Hank. You, Anderson Cooper, had to get him all the way out and throw him. The niggas, are you, is you really crazy? You mean to tell me you've been knocking so long, you really ain't, who the hell you think you is, I want?
Well, man, that just show you now. That's a great, that's being a part of a great governmental.
I met Don Siegelman. I know Don Siegelman probably wished today he hadn't never tied it with Hank Family.
I don't know how they come, but I think it's hard to believe that our leaders were actually. It seems like they probably, they don't know.
No, but there's a bunch of homosexuals. There you go. They think it's a game. They think can't nobody see through what they're doing.
Like you still have to have some type of feeling, you know, the feeling that causes you to get, you know, that causes you to get up in the morning, and the feeling that causes you to go, you know, to just go through your routine. You know, it's like you just got to, you know, my uncle used to say,
they follow their tone.
My uncle used to say, oh, how some of these people can sleep at night. You know, my uncle, you know, people always complain. Some old people, when I was coming up, he'd be working, he'd say, you know what? I don't care. Some people just sleep at night.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I understand what they're saying because how they represent what they represent. But for we as a country, you know, we really, and there's so many things going on. I can see how some people actually believe in the devil, so to speak, because they do, you know, there's so much stuff going on. And they stuck. They don't see what could have been, though. Shoot. Okay. What I think about
it, you know, Hank Stanley is the biggest phony down in Selma. You know that. Truman Perkins and Chestnut teamed up to make sure Jean Martin, a white woman, got in them. And then they told black people, I had been endorsed by the KKK, but I knew they were nasty stuff was really trying to say.
Yeah, well, you would think everybody would think that's
no joke. They didn't think that was no joke. Now, you know them people stopped me there. They upset.
Yeah, but still,
that's
what I'm saying. But how could they
do that? You see, they put their ear on.
Yeah, and then. It's strange, though, because, you know, Selma is pretty much the same as the world. I think, you know, I really haven't been there in about 5 or 6 months. But, But what we have to do now is, Well, we're trying to convince people to do what is right. You know, just go ahead and vote for Robert. But, you know, go ahead on. Do as thou hast been done to you. You know, just say, well, yeah. As soon as you get in that booth, just psych you. Just go do what you got to do, I'm trying to tell you. Because, hey, and it's not a joke, but at the same time, I give God still. I know God will provide still, but. There's some things I'm trying to tell you. You worship the intelligence of God, God, that's how God will be pertaining to you. See, we generate. That's where the saying comes from, what goes around comes around. But, you know, if hypocrisy carries its own doom, not so much hypocrisy, the extent of the truth that you display carries its own merit. You can't rise to the higher than your honest. Maybe you can say that. It's still an attitude. Maybe we can't rise in a higher than we rise out in our woman. Really, man, can't, you know, that's pretty much where we are with that. But still, we can't rise any higher than our intellect towards God. Like, if we think that God can do anything, then God can pertain to you. You know, so we have enough. You know, God has given us through His grace. Through the idea by the Son, enough to really to know better than what we are doing. And so that's where we got to really be very careful. Our wills are so strong. The only thing that we can't do is you can't will yourself over God's will. God's will is that He would much prefer building a heaven on earth than for you to think you can crawl your than for you to think that you can perpetrate your way over into a situation that you just don't have the you're just not worth an attack. that's just kind of the way we act, you know. Like we were going to my auntie, one of my aunt's funerals, she had lived a long time. And this preacher, he was really preaching. He said, yeah, you know, we just tell stories just to be telling. Ain't nobody asking. Nobody asking to tell a story. But you just told it because you just had to put that in there. You know, just like when George Jefferson, he got up thinking that he was moving on up. Moving on. Let's just show you now. He had to. And by the way, while you thought we were moving on up, I'm mad to this white guy now.
But see, that's what tokenism is. Thanks for moving up, but you're moving backwards.
Yeah, when I was following you around the school and you were telling, I was reading that stuff in your book, I said, hey, people, they teach us. You know what, the book was something like almost entertaining to a Bible. It was actually, you know, you said it in the class.
I was colleagues, you team up with different people in college. A few people I had teamed up with were going to school to become tokens. They had to have master's degrees in order to do it because of the fear. And this one young lady, her sister was already a token.
Yeah, she was telling me that. I remember. Yeah, you know.
You met her.
Yeah. You know, this is really something that the world is just that modern. But that's a great thing.
And she told me, she said, don't waste your time fooling with black folks. Because I just always, speaking from a militant perspective, don't waste your time. I'm just telling you. And at the time, she was 40-something years old. She said, I'm telling you something. Don't waste your time fooling with black people. And I just resented the whole idea that she said that.
They sent me down there and said, I said, well, you just stick a fork in me because I'm done. I'm through. You know, people tell you that black folks will wear you out. I'm saying, I joke. Well, you know, I shouldn't say that because that's actually the guy bragging about why we be talking about Jesus Christ and white man talking about guns. I shouldn't say that. We shouldn't say that either. Giving hand to the power.
Yeah,
giving credence to some of the stuff that be going on. It just don't make no sense.
It's like giving
in. What gets me down more than anything looks like. It's like, what happens to a black person when they get a little money? And maybe not a little money, that's a lot of money. Like one, you know, especially like these people get millions of dollars, you know. Every person, you know, he get a... I heard that this guy that bugged his wife, something happened to him. I forget, I saw him in the news a couple of days ago about something. He was a, you know, he owned
it. I don't even want to talk about him. You know, them people that
have
made money and stuff.
I'm sorry, if you don't make money, you still walk around like you just really, you know, you're something else. But it's fascinating, though. You know, it really is.
I don't blame that lady. I don't love him, too.
Oh, boy. But life is so fascinating. That is true. And sometimes when you're into the Bible and stuff, you study people live 700, 800 years. That's a long time. If you live this, that long in this world, what would you think? You know, I mean,
you saw what Jay-Z and Beyonce raised $40 million for Obama.
Yeah, I heard that. You know,
that's fundraising.
You know, and that's supporting. That's supporting, really, the people that got wealth. That, you know, when you spend that kind of money for that, because he shouldn't have to even campaign if he had done anything. You see what I'm saying? Because the country is in need now. It's not a joke. But then again, you know, it's just really, yeah, it's just like that. That's money. I guess when you got money, that's good to have that kind of money, but still, why can't you just be? You don't think they can see? Okay, Beyonce, and they all of a sudden now they in with same-sex marriages. That's basically, I guess, the goal. So we have to really, especially we getting persecuted.
They're just like the average black person. I don't mean that they go into Hollywood and start doing stuff, and then they're going to come down, and they're going to want to talk then. I don't like Arthur Berger. You know, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, Arthur just ain't never had no real money. Man. You know, Arthur ain't nothing like no Jay-Z and no Beyonce, really, when it comes to money.
It's the same principle.
Arthur was our lawyer. He was living in his car. That's been about 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, maybe, to that moment.
Back 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Now
he's
driving a great Ford
Taurus. Him and Michael Jackson sleeping on the curb.
Yeah.
And but how can people hear this success and be so low down on the way? You know, he stopped up. He just went that way.
He actually stopped on campaign to get into office, and we did. He said, "Cause I can definitely do more when I get in from the position I'm in. And like a fool, we helped you." He just dropped us. And he was coming out like he's some type of civil rights attorney. He's some, that's what I mean by, I don't pay black people no attention. Maybe talking that stuff now. That's not me giving in to anything. That's just me saying that. You know, I have my reserves because I know how to ask the critical question when it's time. I have my own. When they do that, that's just a sign that this person may not be no good.
Yeah, but it was so fun. Like you say, Yes, unless she missed her show tonight, if she had really liked her show.
I think she's co-host, right? Co-host of Good Morning America.
Yeah. And I never saw her. You know, I don't know much about her, but I hate to say anything, but
the iPhone 5 Apple phone is available today, and they're saying that there are some malfunctions with the map. I heard a guy say today that it's pointing different directions, but Apple today appreciate the feedback and that they are going to work on resolving the issue. Vince, you remember Amanda Knox over in Italy? Remember when they put her and her boyfriend supposedly killed a roommate or something?
Yeah.
He wrote a book or something. He was on television today. And he was just fake. They were asking him, they didn't let you know something, man. So it's something real funny about people. People do things. They ask them, say, do you still love a man? And he said, no. You know, he said he don't have, you know, where when they got out of jail, he was through with her right then and right there. You know, it's a funny thing. People do things together. And then they never had nothing to do with each other. No more. You would think a person doing something for life. And I look at this other stuff on ID the other day where this one young lady, she dismembered a girl body because her boyfriend killed a girl or something. And she's so in love with him, she can't call 911. Her parents had to, you know, come and find her. To make a long story short, you know, he the worst thing ever happened to her now. But she helped him escape to Mexico. And they asked her on the film, said, well, do you feel anything about what you did? She said, you know, it just hasn't settled in my mind yet. You know, she's talking like a real psychopath. But it's a funny thing how people can do the gruesome things together. And then after they do it, they don't even, what, they just don't feel the same way. Can you comment on that?
You know, people, that's the beginning. You begin learning that. Some people learn the worst thing, the best thing in life, the worst way, under the worst circumstance. That's all I can say. A person needs to experience worst circumstances under a good condition.
What you mean?
You know, just like, just like yesterday, we were talking about man talking about same marriage with man, same sex marriage. Sure, it's difficult with, you know, male and female marriage. You know, you have a 1 in 100 chance of finding the right, of finding a person. What I mean by finding the right person, the person that y'all actually can accomplish something together. That is, like, that's the odd thing about Mitt Romney and his wife. You know, it's something about, you know, very few people able to connect in high school and stay connected, you know, to that bigger point. And for his professors, like, it's worthwhile knowing about people like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just business people. They ain't go to Hollywood. See, Hollywood was kind of, well, you see what happened to you when you get a glamorous life, through bull junk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my little boy Arnold, you know, like, it's a shame. You know, all the money he made, you know, he probably made just as much. Yeah, people making money.
He made a lot of money.
Made a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
He ended up a security guard.
I can't quite remember. They said, thank you to my Gary Coates. I think they said back then he was making a $500,000 to $1 million per episode.
Yeah, people were making money now. And look how they ended up. But you got hard work. You got people that are just average people that work on jobs and just make. You know, see, Romney have not had the kind of money that they have. Look at his balance. You know, just living. You know, not out in the world trying to mislead other folks with what they do in Hollywood. But then fantasy television, we just got to evaluate television. You just can't give up television. You know, there's so much there. So, but the fantasies, I guess, are the fantasies. But, you know, we just take the fun out of stuff. But some people like the what they call Friday the 13th. Television is like Friday the 13th, you don't watch yourself. But I guess people look at that as well. They have a right to be kind of flimsy because of what, first that's something I heard today about Hollywood, all the young boys more or less are molested in Hollywood. Everybody now is saying, well, you know you have to be a homosexual to go to be in Hollywood. You know, wow. That's pretty much true, man. You know, we need to be doing, I guess we need to put, know that or what? But I guess my main thing we got to do now is like, just the vibe. I guess people with money, I guess they think that their money is what's going to cause them to survive. But there's a certain.
I heard Romney say something that was very down to earth. I think he was on.
He was on Kelly and Michael's show the other day, and he was saying that, you know, people with money, you know, they have problems too. And he said, why they sitting around saying they ain't got no problems, he said, they'll take cover.
Everybody, you know, it's like, why y'all make a big fuss about money? it's like it was a great, matter of fact, I used to think, I had a way with thinking that, you know, rich people should do more. But then if they're actually making money, what's the stop you? And then if a lot of people making money and they're not doing anything, matter of fact, they're doing something against society. Look at Beyonce now. You know, people just giving them their money. They don't got enough sense. They ain't got enough sense to even want the best for, you know, for young black Americans. You know, not even want the best. You know, that's cruel. And that's why I think there's a lot of things, a lot of different stuff that father was coming into play. I don't know, it could be just me, you know, just getting old. I don't even know. But I know that's a sound. I would never be or even try to contribute to being in that way. You know, just like the guy at Walmart. I was thinking today about rich people. Man, now you know Walmart make money. This man, he got to go out and make him an airplane, go crash himself. So what caused that? You know, what caused the person? You got enough money to buy an airplane, you go make one and just kill yourself. That was one of the Walmart people did about three or four years ago. And so, you know, what is it? Some people have money. This guy that won the last Powerball, the average guy, I wonder what he'll be ripped from. I would like to see where he got everything mapped out. One lady that hit the lottery, she said she was worse. She said she lost her whole family. All the nephews and stuff, they just went crazy, drug and stuff like that.
Well, you know, we know of a lady here in Michigan that won $1 million and she pretty much just lost her mind.
Yeah,
she really didn't win bonkers. I've been following her along. She really have. She just really want her up and get rid of that money. She can fix, she knows she bonkers.
Yeah, it's a shame that she got. You know, that's
that was a chance of a lifetime for her. But that lady, that lady went crazy. How you gonna put a hit out on somebody and you let everybody in the whole neighborhood know you putting a hit out? That's not how a hit operate. I mean, she actually went crazy.
I hear just a regular family argument.
Yeah.
People go through everything and go get on to the next point. And she done got so big, she gonna take a little family domestic squall. When she wouldn't use it to do that if it wasn't for the money. That's the thing. See, some people take it somewhere without the money. You know?
know, that's just like he was saying about Arthur today, but you know, he ain't never had no money. That position, you know, Arthur
act like he didn't even know us after he got the position. You know, it was thing. He stood around one for him, so I'm going to leave Michael alone. Michael just a homosexual. I'm going to leave Michael alone. Hell, Michael better leave me alone. You know? But it's a funny thing how, shoot, a person get in a position, they just really get money, they just go crazy. So I'm pretty much the same way all the time with people. You know, I don't change. I don't just change. And I really was trying to do something. We were really actually trying to share in the community. You know, I had no idea these homosexuals was just laying out in the cut. You know, just trying to make sure don't nothing happen. Because had I known, I would have took my money somewhere else.
I just wouldn't have, hey, it didn't mean, when they were trying to make it seem like everything meant, it didn't even mean all that.
If you want your life to have purpose, become a Christian elevator. I mean a real one. You want some strange stuff to start happening.
I won't say it's strange, though. See, that's the only thing. Life is so complex. It ain't complex, but it is in so many ways.
Because, like, whatever a person, what goes around comes around, and that goes on every feet, you know. What goes around comes around. Even the things in my life, I have to figure out, and I'm the one that's complaining about it. But, you know, in what way do we contribute to things we complain about when we absolutely think somebody else's fault? And we know it's our fault. So you have to learn from, you have to still learn from whatever comes your way. You have to learn from it. You have to overcome it. That's all right. But now I just think like things that worry me a lot or don't worry me is why do people actually act the way that they act? You know, what is it about? What actually
turns the person on?
Well, I want to play another tape by Herman Cain. He was saying that in this tape, he was basically, and I hope the audience can hear the tapes, he was basically saying that he want Obama to keep the gas prices high because he feel like that's a sure win for Romney. Let me see.
Herman Cain hopes that gas prices will increase to help Mitt Romney win the presidency. Former presidential candidate and prominent Romney backer Herman Cain says if gas prices go up significantly before November, regardless of what happens to consumers as a result, it would help President Obama be defeated, and that would be a good thing. Let's hear the audio of Herman Cain addressing this issue when he was guest hosting for, who was he guest hosting for? I assume it's Neil Bortz, who he's taking over for at some point soon. Let's take a listen.
I'm good, and you?
Great. What's on?
Is it wrong that since gas prices have been going up like 30 cents in the last month and a half, that for a while I've been hoping for gas to hit $4 so that people will realize that we need a Republican in the presidency so that on November 7th, gas will be slashed to like $2 a gallon?
Right.
That's not wrong at all because... And here's why that's not wrong to wish that it hit it.
Yes,
if it
tell
hits
us why.
$4 a gallon nationally, that would be a huge wake-up call for a lot of people who, quite frankly, Mark, aren't paying attention, okay? And the other reason that I would agree with you that it's not wrong in order to wake people up in that manner, because sometimes you don't wake them up until it hits their checkbook or their pocketbook, is the fact that some of the times when the gas prices go down, it's manipulated. It's manipulated by... the oil-producing countries. there are some countries that are really, really big as far as oil production that want Barack Obama to win.
Right. Okay. So it's very, very simple, Lewis. What's interesting about this argument, other than the fact that Herman Cain is completely incompetent, is that if gas doesn't hit $4 a gallon, he's kind of implying it's evidence we don't really need a Republican to win. And I don't even think he realizes he's kind of making that implication. We need gas at $4 a gallon for people to realize that we need a Republican enough.
Yeah, he would obviously argue that, no, we need a Republican to win no matter what, but we need to have lower or higher gas prices to show people
right.
so that they realize
people
that we
won't
need
figure it out unless
right.
they see $4 a gallon gas. Now, let's take that to its logical conclusion. If you see $4 a gallon gas, why would that make you think Obama needs to go? Oh, right, because Mitt Romney said that prices going up or down, gas prices going up or down, of course, is credit or blame for the president. Of course, since gas prices have gone down, I haven't heard Mitt Romney say a word giving credit to President Obama for those gas prices going down.
No, and according to the caller on the show, as soon as a Republican hits office, gas prices will be cut in half.
Yeah, to $2, which, of course, Michelle Bachmann ran on. We know where she is now.
Yes.
People forget, by the way, that in the year 2000, then-candidate George W. Bush said he could get oil prices down from the record high of $1.69 a gallon by telling OPEC to, quote, open up the spigot. 8 years later, gas hit $4.12 a gallon. We're well below that now under a Democratic president. Let's not think about that, though. Let's listen to Herman Cain and the callers and Michelle Bachmann about $2 gas.
I do want to say something positive quickly about Herman Cain.
Yeah.
His speech is obviously not based on reality. Nothing that he says makes any sense. However, he is a funny guy, and John Oliver from The Daily Show has done these recurring bits on The Daily Show where he interviews him, and it's very funny, and Herman Cain is very self-deprecating in them, so I highly recommend watching those.
Yeah, it's no different from when he gives that kind of an answer hosting for Neil Bortz. He's self-deprecating in both ways. It's just he's not aware of it on the Bortz show.
I agree.
Certainly not setting himself up for any other run at office.
Well, that pizza business is lucrative.
Well, we will see if good business lets you become president, good business experience, that is.
We'll see with Romney. Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll talk to Scott Keeter from Pew Research Center after this about the polls. Do the polls say that people care about the Mitt Romney tax return? Do the polls say that Obama's going to win in a landslide? What do they say? Let's take a break. Stay tuned. Scott Keeter's next.
The David Pakman Show at davidpakman.com.
It's really sad that people are always a day late and a dollar short. These people right here now talking about, well, if Obama don't win, we're going to put Miss Clinton out there. Oh, please. You know, that don't even make sense. You're supposed to put Miss Clinton in there from the very beginning.
What you
need to understand? We've got black
man,
it's black man, that's true. It's really sad that we just can't find, you know, nothing else to do with our time besides acting like a nut. You know, we sitting around talking about, well, you know, I need, you know, we always, that's really true. We always a day late and a dollar short, for real. You know, I told these people to put Ms. Clinton in from the very beginning. Well, you know, Obama just—he just seemed like he know what he's talking about.
Well, we should have known something, but we couldn't
Oprah. I knew something with Oprah.
Well,
where Oprah at now? You see, huh? Oprah almost lost her whole career fooling around with Obama. I was surprised that people actually didn't understand when Oprah's standing there that they really need to be really paying attention if something ain't right.
So, Oprah got me at that time. That role she played in Roots, I think. When Oprah played that role, she was too. I'm going to get that clip from there and look back at Oprah. What's up with it? Yeah, but she come with it. You would think some type of blackness would have rubbed off on Oprah. You know, something real. So she played that role. You know, that got beat her up. You think? You know, you probably don't even remember. But she played in Roots.
White guy
beat her up, and she was like a real black woman. She was like to the bone. Oprah fit that role. I'm trying to tell you, Oprah fit that role. Like Whoopi Goldberg been a role, man. them people play them actors or something else. That's why you have to really kind of like actors with time. You better find them out. I would have thought JJ Mama would have ended up on the Psyche Hotline. I see a lot of white actors end up in different positions. Maybe they made a lot of money too. But then you think of black people with no idea how much money, you know, that would you be believing anyway. You don't think that they be just as broke. I got George Elson. Like, he over there taking all that money. When he found out that he actually his soulmate was a white man. And that's just the way that was. So life is so fascinating. I guess a person will never really get tired of living because there's always something that you can actually see. There's no way you'll be able to become bored with some of the things you have. This is through something else. But children, I guess I'm children, and you can see how the reality of children be playing around. So much serious stuff be going on. A child be picking up a marker on the wall. You know, just because now you think about what you're talking about. By the time you get the fool with the child, you forget about what the adult problem was supposed to be about.
Then after the child marks on the wall, he goes to sleep.
Too long, you're trying to figure out what's wrong with it. And you wake him up and you're trying to figure out why you woke him up. But people shouldn't be. That's the other day, you know, here in Detroit, a child is missing. And it was just sad how some people get so far off track with children, especially with this. Yeah, you see, everything leads right back around to how can we have a prosperous civilization when there are black homosexuals, white homosexuals preying on our black youth. And these people are so hip, so cool, hell away. Like, this muscle said, he went there and told me, he said, Cracker, go right there and get me some of that thing. Go there. So that money's like, do something good. So that's what we need. We need money to probably ask to a lot of, you know, to come out.
Did he get the money?
No.
I think the white guy told him that when we get through building this place, we'll give you a time card.
That's what the black man be doing. He be standing up. The white folks that be building factories, the black man be standing up down on the corner waiting on that time card to get put up there. So he can hear. What you know? Man, boy, it is something. But it's nothing like being
trying to do or doing. That television, who would think television would create, would bring so much joy and sorrow? What?
Well, we got 3 minutes,
huh? We don't have a few minutes left. Well, we're going to try to have some better show. When we can only look for it, we are trying to have the election to go the right way and just keep talking.
I want to say something before we leave. Obama got some stuff for sale. He got one shirt that say, "My two dads support Obama." You know, he got, you know, he really, you know, Obama just really, is it really sad?
We're going to say a prayer. Everybody stay in prayer and really seek the will of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Good night, and please tune in to the Universal Science Church of God in the morning. We got a wonderful Bible study going. Good night.